Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thanks for joining us today as we conclude our discussion of Sacred Marriage Part 2. So here's the next point he makes, or the next paragraph.
Okay.
He says, if for some reason my wife and I split up and I married someone else whom I thought was stronger emotionally, I might very well find myself in the same situation.
Yes, true.
Something that bothered me about my wife may actually be true about most women.
Yes.
Because this is a man-woman thing, not a me-and-my-wife thing.
True.
And I thought that was a really good point.
It is a good point.
Because sometimes when we're talking or talking with a couple who's having problems, the idea is, well, she's this way. It's my wife who's this way. And I can't believe she, why won't she change this?
Mm-hmm.
When maybe what you're dealing with is not so much your wife as much as a woman generally.
Right.
This is a woman thing.
She was created to be.
Or this is a man thing.
Right.
And it may be as a result of living this fallen world full of sin, that this is a fallen sin woman thing or a fallen sinful man thing. Mm-hmm. But the point he makes simply is that the answer to all of that is that our marriage causes or calls us to focus our efforts on giving each other respect, honor.
Yes.
So that some men are like, I can't believe she's so emotional. It drives me nuts. Okay, hold on, my brother, hold on. Because you're a Christian, and if you're going to get to know God, the way God wants to use your marriage to draw you to Him and to help you to mature through the challenges of your marriage, you've got to change your thinking on that, and you've got to respect your wife that is different than you, who handles things differently than you do, who responds to things differently than you do.
Yes.
And you know, ladies, I think you've got to do the same thing the other way.
Yes. So the respect goes the other way too.
It actually does.
Mm-hmm.
And so, any other thought about those tears? Or I thought that was just an interesting part of his book.
It is an interesting part. And sometimes, you know, the whole thing about the tears probably just needs communication. Oh, I just felt like a good cry. Or no, we really need to talk about something.
Sure.
But I do agree with the whole, you know what? David is a man, and there are some things that men that's just what they do. And I am a woman, and that's just what I do as a woman, and giving each other grace. I was thinking sometimes we give other people outside of our home so much grace. You know, the grumpy cashier, the person who cut us off in traffic, whatever. We can give so much grace. And maybe we come home and we're a little bit out of sorts because all of this happened out there while we've been running errands, and then our husband comes home from work and he's tired. He's had a rough day too, and we just want to lay into him. How can you treat me like this? I've had a rough day. And we don't give them grace. We don't, as Mr. Thomas is putting it here, giving them honor. We don't give them that, and we give other people that. And so if we're growing in Christ, we're going to learn to give grace in our homes too. Yeah.
I guess I knew this, but it did kind of catch me, you know, it just kind of some like puzzle pieces coming together for me. The idea that the areas where you're different, or even the areas where I would say, I can't believe she does it that way. It turns everything around when I can look at you and say, you know what? I can respect her. Because either number one, this is how God made her because she's a woman.
Right.
Or number two, this is because we live in a fallen world and my wife, like everybody else, has to deal with our sin nature.
Yes.
Then I can honor and show respect. And then in turn, when I honor you and show respect, even no matter what's going on, even even if I'm right and it is an issue.
Right.
When I honor and show you respect, then it brings God's favor and blessings into my life, and I grow spiritually through that. This is the point he's trying to make.
Right, and we can then specifically show grace because of our gender.
Absolutely. And so he deals with three issues, and I think we have time to deal with all three here. Just touch
all
on
right.
them. This is issues involving respect and honor. He deals with the issue of contempt.
Which would be the opposite of respect.
Absolutely. And he said that contempt occurs when we have expectations that are not met. This is what I think you should do as a husband, and you don't do it, and therefore I've had it with you. And so we start treating each other with contempt.
Yes.
And you and I have experienced this many times when we've been around couples that are dealing with this. A contemptuous couple is awkward to be around.
Absolutely.
When they bite at each other and undermine each other. And are sarcastic with each other.
Right. And maybe you think, well, we would never do that in public, but do your children see you do it in the home?
Absolutely. It's more important that your children see a good marriage than that people you don't know.
Right. So when those contemptuous words start to come forth, we should check, because we're not being respectful or honorable. Okay.
Yeah. And so what he says is the answer to contempt is thankfulness, gratitude. Mm. So that the point he makes, if I'm going to honor my spouse, if I'm going to honor Bethley and you're going to honor your wife, friends, you have to defeat contempt with thankfulness. Mm-hmm. Because he says, and this is a quote, when I'm thankful for my spouse, the control that the familiarity of contempt has on me is broken.
Right.
It's broken when I can thank God for my wife, even if she's handling something differently than I would.
Right.
Even if she's responding to something differently than I think she should.
Right.
I can still be thankful for the spouse God has made me, which is a good place to stop and challenge our listeners.
Yes.
Because one of the things you ought to be getting really good at is showing gratitude for each other.
Absolutely.
And continually thanking God for your spouse and even how they're made.
Right.
And thanking God for the differences than the two of you. Mm. You ought to thank God that your husband doesn't cry over Hallmark movies.
Yes. Yes.
And you ought to thank God that your wife does. Mm. Because the fact that she can cry at a Hallmark movie shows that she has a tender heart towards romantic things.
Yes.
And even though Hallmark is sometimes a fake romance, and everybody knows that, I think.
I wouldn't say sometimes. I would say always.
Always? Okay, good.
Always a fake romance.
Trying to be kind
there.
You
were being kind.
But the fact of the matter is that she cries over that shows that she has a tender heart, shows that she romantic things do touch her.
Yes.
And as a husband, I ought to thank God for that instead of being like, oh my word, what a stupid thing to cry over. I can change that around and say, you know, I am so thankful that God designed my wife to be touched by romantic things.
Yes.
And it ought to remind you perhaps to get a flannel shirt and take your wife for a walk in the snow.
And chop some wood while you're out there.
And chop some wood when you get mad and can't seem to win the argument. Mm. But he deals with contempt.
And I would say that the thankfulness thing, we could even be, I don't know, more practical in that sometimes I know as a wife, and I'm not sure in a man's heart because we're talking about our differences here, but in a wife's heart, one hurt can lead to another hurt, can lead to another hurt. And because of the way God made us, we don't truly forget about it and we let it compound. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes when I'm feeling a little angsty towards you, I can, because I am trying to grow in the Lord, I can take a step back and say, okay, look, not everything about David is bad.
But in the moment, you kind of feel like it
is. In the moment, there is so much that just seems to be building up. And I know, based on the Word of God, and then based on this book too, that one of the things that totally can get rid of all of that angst is to be thankful, to start counting all of the ways that David is a blessing to me. That David is the love of my life, that he is the wonderful father of our children. And once I start naming those things that I'm thankful for, it can get rid of all the petty little hurts that seemed so huge just a moment ago.
Yeah, that's an awesome truth. And that goes both ways.
Yes.
In a marriage. And mm-hmm. what a good piece of advice there. He deals with the issue of contempt. Mm-hmm. Then he deals with something I thought was interesting. He deals with the issue of honor as it relates to the bedroom. Mm. And maybe this is more of a guy thing, perhaps. But one of the things he talks about is that every guy longs for his wife to really want him and be all in when it comes to the bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes he says that a man can get really upset and frustrated at his wife because she's just tired and she doesn't want to be with him in the bedroom. Mm. And a guy can think, well, why doesn't my wife want me? When really it's not always something personal.
Right.
When I understand that, you know what? She's just tired. She's had a long day with the kids and it's been a stress-filled day and she doesn't feel completely connected to me right now. And it's just been that kind of a day and maybe that kind of a week.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we can't work on those things. Mm-hmm. As you know, if you've heard us teach much at all, we believe the bedroom is a very important part of marriage.
Very, and
the Bible teaches that as well.
Yes.
But the point about it is that if I start taking everything personal when it comes to the bedroom as a husband, rather than recognize that this isn't personal, my wife is legitimately worn out.
Yes.
Legitimately exhausted, legitimately doesn't feel well, legitimately tired.
Right.
Then I can turn that around and I can even honor
in
our marriage relationship. And, you know, maybe I can help her to get to bed earlier.
Right.
Or I can take something away, you know, take a responsibility away from her and I can handle that so she can have more freedom.
Right.
And I can even maybe give her a foot massage.
Yes.
So that as I honor my wife, even though I don't feel like my need is being met at that time,
right,
then I'm becoming more like Jesus because I'm giving up my rights to honor the rights of my spouse or the desires or the needs of my spouse.
And it's something too that we ladies as wives can be aware of. There is a strong connection between a man feeling respect from his wife and their bedroom life. They're just,
that's very true.
Usually not every marriage. And I know there are exceptions there, but most of the time your husband feels greatly respected when you quote unquote, quote, want him in the bedroom. And so, we can be aware of that. We can take the time to rest a little bit. We can take the time to even communicate to him, you know what, sweetheart, it has been an exhausting day. I am very, very tired. But I do love you and I respect you and I do want you. Could we wait till tomorrow?
Sure. And that's fair.
It's a good thing for a wife to do, not to capitalize on that. Well, you need to understand me. I'm tired. Capitalize on that. I do respect you and I honor you.
And notice, those of you listening, I notice how that goes both ways. Mm. As a husband, when I understand she's tired, and mm-hmm. as a wife, when you understand God made him with a great need and I'm the only one that can meet it.
Yes.
We're both respecting.
Yes.
We're both honoring. And when you bring those two together and understanding on both parts, mm-hmm. if your response to what we're teaching here is, okay, thankfully somebody's going to understand me and he can leave me alone now, or thankfully,
yes,
then you're still focused on self.
Right.
Respect is when I honor my spouse's need at this point. Mm-hmm. And respect on both sides, it's about me concerned about you and you concerned about me. Then we're becoming the Christians that God's called us to be. We're getting to know God through our marriage.
Yes, absolutely. And we're
out of time almost, but this last one, Matthew 7, we don't have time to read it because we're just almost
we
done.
We can just allude to it.
If you remember Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5, he talks about moats and beams and about yes. We're always wanting to remove it's the mote from somebody else's eye, mm-hmm. but we ignore the beam that's in our own eye.
Yes.
And Mr. Thomas did a great job in his book about this when he says, in those verses, God is not helping us to resolve legal matters. You're wrong and I'm right. But rather to help us to adopt humble spirits, to say, yes. Okay, so my wife has a fault there. My husband has a fault there. But I know that I do too.
Yes.
And when I approach my spouse in this way, he says, I'm becoming the Christian that God wants me to become. Mm. And so what are you following this idea? It's almost a subtle idea that our marriages have challenges. Mm-hmm. And as we learn to handle them in a biblical way, as I learn to love you and honor you.
Yes.
I'm dying to self. Mm-hmm. I'm responding in biblical ways to every issue and challenge that I have with our marriage, mm-hmm. then not only am I learning to make our marriage stronger and better, I'm becoming sanctified, increasingly like Jesus. And it really is such a simple and novel idea all at the same time.
It's as simple and difficult as that.
It is as simple and difficult as that. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today's discussion was the final part of Sacred Marriage Part 2. Join us next time for the beginning of Sacred Marriage Part 3.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.